It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we look back four decades to a time in Wisconsin's juvenile justice system when youth were incarcerated without hearings often will meet the group of people who battled to change it.
First, the Milwaukee ex-police officer who shot and killed Silvo Smith has been charged with first-degree reckless homicide.
Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm this morning filed a criminal complaint against former police officer Dominique Hagan Brown, who shot Smith during a traffic stop on August 13th this year. The shooting set off days of unrest in the city's Sherman Park neighborhood.
John Diedrich is a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and joins us now. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a breaking news story. Can you update us on where we're at right now?
So today the district attorney's office in Milwaukee charged Dominique Hagan Brown, Milwaukee police officer who shot Seville Smith, and charged him with reckless homicide. The police officer had also earlier been charged with sexual assault that was unrelated to the shooting of Seville Smith.
And why are these charges, the reckless homicide, coming out right now?
Well, this has been the result of an investigation that's gone on for a number of months. Just to help listeners sort of rewind, the shooting happened in August, and following that, there was unrest and rioting that happened in Sherman Park. There was a lot of questions about what the video would show, the body camera video, and so forth. The early indications were that this was a shooting that was justified in the fact that Seville Smith had a gun. He was armed at one point in the altercation. But this criminal complaint, which is, again, the result of several months of investigation, concludes that, in fact, Seville Smith was not armed when the second shot was fired, a killing shot, into his chest by Officer Hagan Brown.
And so this started as a traffic stop, and Seville Smith was running from the police. They were pursuing him. Did that pursuit follow standard procedure in a case like that?
Well, we haven't seen the whole internal investigation, and there had been some questions as to what the nature of this stop was. Hagan Brown was with a partner. This is an area where drug dealing has happened. There's also had been some shootings recently. So it had been suggested that those were the bases for making the stop. The criminal complaint suggests that that was part of the reason to initiate the stop. It doesn't, for the purposes of this criminal complaint, they're not talking about were rules followed or not followed in that case. What they're really focusing in on is the officer's use of force at that case. So if you sort of back it up and say, was this stop justified? That's really an internal investigation question, which the police department continues to conduct parallel to the criminal investigation.
And is there any proof that Silville Smith fired at the officers?
There isn't any indication in here. From the criminal complaint, which is actually quite brief, as these sorts of cases tend to be sort of longer, but what happened was he was running from the officers. He turned and he had the weapon in his hand, and that when he raises the gun upward, in other words, he slips and falls, and as he turns to the officer and he's raising the gun upward, that's when he shot once in the arm. But then he throws the gun over, this is Seville Smith, mm-hmm. throws the weapon that's in his hand over the fence into the yard, and that his firearm did not discharge. So, though the weapon wouldn't have had to have discharged for officers to use deadly force, if somebody points a weapon at an officer, they could use deadly force depending on the circumstances. But from this point, the weapon is raised up, he shot once in the arm, and then the gun, you know, is gone at that point and is no longer a factor in it. And after that is when the shot that actually killed him was fired.
We are talking with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter John Diedrich right now. We are talking about the breaking news that former Milwaukee police officer Dominique Hagan Brown has been charged with first-degree reckless homicide in the death of Silvo Smith this August. Now, one of the interesting aspects of this story, John, is that there are actually some interesting parallels between the lives of the victim, Silvo Smith, and the officer who has now been charged in that case, Hagan Brown. Can you share some of those with us?
They did grow up in similar neighborhoods, and when you say similar neighborhoods, not like on the same block, but within relatively close proximity. They didn't go to the same school, but there was definitely commonality in terms of people that they knew. And that particular neighborhood, Sherman Park, there were instances where they would have crossed paths from the interviews that we did. There also was, you know, similarities to African-American young men who had come up with a number of the challenges that those young men are facing in our community right now. In terms of the paths, they divert at some point. And Seville Smith is actually, he's wounded in a shooting and is involved in a number of incidents, arrests, and things of that nature. A couple years before he actually dies in this shooting. In contrast, Officer Hagen Brown becomes a police aide, which is a way to get into the police department for young people who are interested in that, and becomes a police officer, really patrolling parts of the area where he grew up in Sherman Park. So their paths were sort of intertwined, and then at some point those paths diverted.
So as we briefly mentioned earlier, within hours of the shooting, protesters descended on Milwaukee's Sherman Park in the neighborhood where Smith had lived. And the protests really did escalate quite significantly over that weekend and even longer. What do you think it was about this particular shooting that created such a spark for the unrest?
Well, there have been a number of incidents of use of force in Milwaukee as well as other cities. I think it was a combination of things. One of the questions that we asked the colleagues here wrote a piece that really looked at, well, why did this take so long and why this shooting? I think part of it was the sort of atmosphere that we're in right now, the number of incidents, Ferguson and South Carolina, other places where police officer use of force has really come into the spotlight. And, you know, video. Now, we didn't have any cell phone video of this, but it allows sort of quick dissemination of this sort of these sorts of incidents. It also happened during the day. It was in summer. It was in an area where there had been issues in the past, particularly related to a gas station in the area. I don't think that really played into it, though that ended up being a business that was burned down. But it sort of just overlaid the fact that here's somebody who was known in the neighborhood. There had been a number of people on the street, and it just became this flashpoint there. And then when, you know, sort of the sense of a group action unrolled, it started with the looting of that particular gas station. And it really started with focusing on a police officer's car and looting that, and that got burned, and then it really unfolded from that. A number of other businesses were looted and burned as well, and that went on for really that whole night, and there was some other unrest the following night, and it really took a while to quiet down, and things have still flared up. It's not as folks have said in the neighborhood. It's not over. There's a lot of emotion, especially around the memorial that has been erected to Seville Smith at the scene of the shooting.
And from those community members who have been trying to bring out the issues that have plagued that neighborhood for a long time, have they been keeping the pressure on to make sure that this investigation results in something like the charges that were filed today?
Well, yes. I mean, in terms of that, I wouldn't think that they would necessarily say, depending on who you talk to, that community leaders would say that they wanted to press for charges since they didn't have all the facts. Of the facts that they knew, they were concerned. The big question that community leaders, members of the family, the Smith family and others were like, where is the video? Why are we not seeing the video? Will we see the video soon? Mm-hmm. Because in other shootings in other cities, it has come out quicker. Though we may know now better a little bit more about why it hasn't come out, because the video will not come out right now in the same way as if he had not been charged, though it's likely that we'll see the video or portions of it during the court hearings, maybe as early as the preliminary hearing, which would be a couple weeks from now. But community leaders have put pressure on to say this you know, shooting needs to be thoroughly investigated and make sure that it's that we're not you know, that because he was a police officer, he's not going to get you know, sort of special treatment. The families talked about picketing. They went into a city council meeting not too long ago in Milwaukee City Hall and said, you know, we need some changes here to happen. We need the district attorney to take action in this case. So in my sense was they wanted a thorough investigation. You know, some would not have been happy without charges, especially given this fact set. And though, keep in mind, this is very, very unusual for a police officer to be charged in an on-duty use of force resulting in death. We're looking through, and there's no parallel, perfect parallel, but really the only case similar to this that's an exact parallel would be the Daniel Bell case, but that was decades ago, and it was only charged later when the officer's partner had a crisis of conscience. But really, we have not seen this sort of thing, and it's not just here, it's around the country. It's because police officers have the authority to use deadly force if they can articulate a threat that they thought was justified. In this case, the district attorney disagrees with that.
And as we wrap up, John, so former police officer Hagan Brown was arrested on sexual assault charges in October. That was an incident that actually is said to have happened the day after the shooting of Sylvel Smith. What is the status of that case right now?
Well, it is one of the just really odd, bizarre twists of this case. So, yes, he has been arrested and charged with sexual assault, not only in an incident that happened the day after, but an incident that happened before the shooting. And what the district attorney's office, the same one that's prosecuting him on the homicide right now, charges, they allege in the criminal complaint that he was drugging individuals, men that he was meeting in bars, and then having non-consensual sex with them. Some of this was recorded on phones, and they have some evidence of this and victim statements to this effect, DNA and so forth. Unrelated, apparently, to the shooting, but those charges were filed earlier, and those may or may not be combined with this homicide case. We don't know, but they do not appear to be connected at this point. So he essentially faces these two sets of very serious charges in Milwaukee County.
John, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter John Diedrich giving us the latest on charges against a former Milwaukee police officer in the shooting death of Sylvel Smith this August.